Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Morning Show is live from the Missouri Capitol, sponsored by Golden Oak Lending, where homeowners get cash in as little as 14 days.
All right, good morning. It is the opening day of the Missouri Legislature. Obviously, this is a big day. We've been talking about this for a long time now. There's going to be a lot going on in Jefferson City, and that is where Mark and Carl are live this morning. Right, guys? All right, we're working to get some audio hooked up there. But they went there yesterday. They trekked, well, hopefully not on the snow-packed roads. Hopefully they were plowed on their route to Jefferson City. But they made it there yesterday, and today, of course, there will be the prayer breakfast, I believe, around 8 o'clock. And then the decision on the speaker is expected to be made today. And that's something we've been talking a lot about, because Justin Sparks is vying for that position, and it'll be interesting to kind of see where this goes, because everything we've heard from everybody so far is that it, you know, he kind of entered this late and just doesn't really stand a chance. But we'll be talking to a lot of people, including the governor, the lieutenant governor, and some lawmakers, again, as Mark and Carl are live from the Missouri State Capitol this morning in Jefferson City.
Or soon to be.
All right. So he can hear us. And it sounds like he is not able, though, to get audio out.
Yeah, I know Carl is working on this, so we just had them, and of course, this is how radio happens. Right before we go live, they somehow dropped out. So
I just have to comment, if any of you are watching right now live on Facebook, by the way, we're live on Facebook, X, YouTube, all the places, but if you want to chat with us, or maybe you have a question for one of our guests this morning, go ahead and chime in on the Mark Cox Show Facebook page. That's the best place. Type in your question now, and we'll be sure to ask that question as we interview some of these folks later on today. But Mark, I know you can't respond to this, and maybe that's better. But under Mark's name on the live feed here on Facebook, it says Mark, and then it says talent on loan from God. Moment to make fun of that. SOS. Mark is holding up a paper that says SOS. Well, we know that Carl's trying to troubleshoot that, but let me give you guys an idea, again, of who we're talking to later on this morning. I mentioned some of the people, but Dave Wassinger, who, of course, is the incoming lieutenant governor, will be speaking with him at 6:35. Andrew Bailey, the attorney general, will be speaking with him at 7:08. The new governor, Mike Kehoe, or soon to be, I should say, new governor, he'll be at 7:20. Denny Hoskins, of course, the Missouri Secretary of State, he'll be stopping by there in Jefferson City with Carl and Mark around 7:35. The plan is to speak with Representative Justin Sparks. I was speaking about him here just a couple minutes ago, saying how he's running for Speaker of the House. So 8:20 is when Justin Sparks will be stopping by. And then Senator Nick Schroer, he plans to pop on over there where they are in the Missouri State Capitol around 8:35 this morning. So there's still a lot to to happen. You know, we've talked about what are the number one priorities here as they get this new session started. What are the number one things that they want to tackle? You know, something Mark and I have talked a lot about would be Amendment 3, right? Very disappointed in what happened. It was a very close vote, in my opinion, in November with the voters who did unfortunately pass Amendment 3. But I would argue that it was very misleading, very, very misleading wording, propaganda that was spread by a lot of these out-of-state lobbyists who come in with this dark money and have a lot of influence, sadly, here in Missouri. And so the hope would be that they can do something to change that, right? Because Planned Parenthood has been in court. They've been pushing, trying to get any law here in the state of Missouri that would make it illegal for them to perform these abortions. They've been trying to get that overturned and be ruled unconstitutional so that they can resume abortions as soon as possible. That's their number one goal because it's a moneymaker. Despite what they want to tell you, that's exactly why this is so key for them to be able to do abortions. It's not for the health care of the woman. Oh, hey, it's specifically for the money. Guys, hey, good morning.
Okay, that was weird.
Can you hear us now, Kim?
We can. This is like the cell phone commercial. Good.
Yeah, no kidding.
You
so you know, there's when you're doing a live remote like we are here in the rotunda of the state capitol, anything could go wrong. And we were on, and everything was fine. And seconds before you came to us, the audio, the internet signal just died. It just went away. Maybe they didn't pay the bill or something. I don't know. Carl, how did you manage to get us reconnected?
I don't know.
He doesn't know. It's a miracle. It is a miracle that we are live on the air right now. But that's good. Let's enjoy it while it lasts.
I unplugged everything and then plugged it all back in.
Kim, I couldn't even hear what you were saying to start the show off there. I'm not quite sure.
I talked a lot of smack about you, Mark.
Did you really?
I did.
I appreciate
yeah.
that. we are live down here in Jeff City, and you know, I've had a chance to talk last night to a couple of lawmakers, and you know, Carl and I always try to make a social event out of it as we go out.
Yeah,
yeah, and we've kind of gotten a glimpse of what they're going to do, but here's kind of the key to the whole thing. Almost everything we talk about today, because we know there have been bills that have been pre-filed. The thing you have to remember about Jefferson City is only a certain number of them are ever going to get assigned to committees. There are hundreds of bills that have been pre-filed. I'll bet every House member pre-filed at least three bills. And most members of the Missouri Senate pre-filed a number of bills. And we're going to have Nick Schroer on today in the 8 o'clock hour to talk a little bit more about some of the bills he has pre-filed. His has to do with red flag laws. But just to give you an idea, that the gist of these bills, as I look down them, deal with the state income tax. They deal with gender transition and trying to somehow impact how that is handled in the state of Missouri. Because, you know, we had a lot of concerns around Amendment 3, that it was going to change the definition of some things and include, give evil-minded people the ability to somehow make that a protected class. There are bills that have been pre-filed to try to stop that. There are bills that would ban DEI in school districts in Missouri, which I think that's a fantastic idea. And then there's even one prohibiting pronoun requirements, Kim, in schools.
Well, that would be huge. I don't see that passing, but it would be fantastic if it somehow did.
And that's the key here, is that it whether it's a House bill or a Senate bill, it's got to be assigned to a committee. And all of these are only pre-filed at this point. So until we get a couple of these House and Senate folks on today to talk about it, we don't have a real good feel for what the priorities are going to be this year. I do get the impression, chatting with folks who know incoming Governor Kehoe, that he really seems to be interested in doing something to impact or remove the state income tax. Now, that's not going to happen this year. I mean, it would have to be phased out, obviously. But there are bills in here that would do that, that would deal with things like that. And personal property tax. I did not see that one in there. That's a big one for me. I mean, I think it's I think whoever thought up that idea, they ought to dig up their bones and burn them. I honestly believe that. Horrible idea that you buy something, you pay tax on it, and then once you've already paid tax on it, you pay tax on it again in perpetuity as long as you own it. Who came up with that idea? But it's a thing, just like the earnings tax in the city of St. Louis, and the state government and municipalities have become dependent on it. And getting rid of it will not be an easy thing. And that's obviously something I'll bring up today when we get Governor Kehoe on here, because we do have a lot of the movers and shakers down here joining us coming up. We're going to get the lieutenant governor on in the next hour. The 7 o'clock hour is going to be huge. We've got the attorney general. We've got the incoming governor, Mike Kehoe, the governor-elect. We've got the Missouri Secretary of State, Denny Hoskins. You know, these are folks who are going to be helping move legislation and ideas here in Jeff City. Obviously, you know, I like Mike Parson. He's not been the most active governor when it comes to coming over here to the Senate and the House and telling them what he wants. And today maybe we can judge whether Mike Kehoe will be more like that. I mean, that's what we need in Missouri is a powerful governor who is going to influence what they do here in the Senate. So, you know, that's just part of what we're doing down here. Ethan, I tell you what we're going to do. We will go to a break here because obviously we got started just a little bit late, and we will do the short list on the other side of this. How about that? Does that work for you guys?
Sure.
All right. Well, let's do that. Who do we have for the national anthem today?
I just went with Charles Glenn because he's the best.
Mark Cox is live from Jefferson City, sponsored by Golden Oak Lending, where homeowners get cash in as little as 14 days.
All right, welcome back. We are live down here in the Rotunda. If you hear a bit of an echo, it's because we're in this beautiful, cavernous portion of the building right outside the doors to the Missouri Senate, and it's just gorgeous. I've taken a couple pictures. I'll post up on the Facebook page for you. Really, even if I turn the camera around, if you're on following us on the socials, it doesn't really do it a lot of credit in here, I don't think. It is it's gorgeous down here. I tell you one thing. I've heard Sue giving some traffic reports up there this morning. Carl and I were both surprised at how clean the roads were when we headed west on 70. Now, maybe they got a little bit less snow than we did in some areas.
A little.
I would say looking at the side of the road, maybe a little less. But the highways were dry. It wasn't even a matter of there being any snow left on the highways. I mean, I-70 was clean all the way to Kingdom City, where we turned south, and 54 on the way down here was pretty clean.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't see many problems.
Now, the sidewalks, on the other hand, when we were walking.
Right, and they did have some ice. You could still see it hanging on the trees down here. So, I don't know. Have we seen any news overnight, Kim, or any more reporting up there on why there was such a disparity on how the roads were cleaned in the area?
Not that I've seen, but I did notice a stark difference in the commute today. I mean, there were still some lanes, even on the main interstates, that were covered in snow, where you'd have to get over to a lane because you realized you were going to hit ice or whatever. But yeah, it's not still not 100%, but it definitely was better this morning than it was yesterday.
Well, maybe they were feeling the pressure because they must have been taking a lot of heat over that. And I still would love to, I still haven't seen that investigative piece from one of the TV stations on why things were so clean in Illinois and St. Charles County and areas. And, I mean, some of the ramps even yesterday were still completely snow-covered.
Well, now people in the city are frustrated, saying that the plows have not hit any of the side streets, so they're having a hard time even getting out, right? I mean, they're trying to say, well, our priority is the main street. I get that. But at the same time, I mean, we are taxpayers. We should have our streets plowed.
Yes, we should. All right. I put it off long enough. Why don't we get to the short list, Ethan, please?
The Mark Cox short list.
And we're going to be announcing at a future date pretty soon. We're going to change, because we do most of the work there and it's ours, changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America.
I tell you, that was my favorite soundbite from that news conference yesterday. I listened to most of it live, to call it a wide-ranging news conference would be the understatement of the year. I mean, he touched on everything and, you know, went back and praised what he had done 4 years ago. And but the comment about changing the name of the Gulf of America to the Gulf of America was my favorite.
They brought this moron out of The Hague. He's a mean guy. He's a mean, nasty guy. His picture was perfect because you look at his picture, you say, that's a bad guy.
Yeah, he's talking about Jack Smith, obviously, who continues to receive setbacks in the courtroom. And the fact that the guy's going to go back to The Hague, that picture him in the blue robe is the one the media always uses, and he where he looks like, I don't know, some sort of a judge out of the 15th century.
As far as releasing the terrorists, I don't know how we undo that, but I think it's a bad decision personally. I think it was a terrible decision, and why now?
Maybe, I'm trying to speculate here, but maybe the Biden administration has just given up. They've already been rated as one of the, I just saw the poll, one of the worst administrations in the history of this country. So why not just release all the people that want to kill us back to their home countries so they can try to kill us again?
Income tax is just punishing somebody for having a job and going out and making money. And so that's why we would really like to see the income tax cut.
Yeah, that's Tony Lutkemeyer, now a senator in here in Missouri. And obviously he'll be down here a little later today. The things get underway here at about noon, I think. There's a prayer breakfast this morning. Usually the governor and lieutenant governor will attend that. Now, obviously, because we have a new administration coming in, David Wassinger, the lieutenant governor-elect, is on his way down here this morning. We're going to talk to him in the 6 o'clock hour. Governor-elect Kehoe will be over here to talk to us in the 7 o'clock hour. So they may or may not be attending the prayer breakfast. I don't know. I would assume that they are. We don't have all the full schedules just yet. But that gives you an idea of what's going on. All they'll work on today are budget issues. I looked at the rundown for the schedule when they gavel in today at around noon and swear in the new members. And they will be talking about appropriations. And it's a big deal. Because we have got to cut costs in the state of Missouri. There's no doubt about that. Our budget is bigger than J.B. Pritzker's budget, if you can believe that. That's shocking, isn't it? All right, coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a whim. We've still got the governor as we continue live down here in Jefferson City at the state capitol. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
Well, some pretty big news out of Washington, D.C. yesterday, because the House passed its first bit of legislation, and that was the Lake and Riley Act. And this has to do with illegal immigration, right? That is part of this mandate that Trump got when he was elected. I believe that was probably the arguably biggest thing, that and maybe the economy, that voters are hoping he can do something about, because we've seen the toll this has taken, including on Lake and Riley. If you forget who she was this 22-year-old nursing student from the University of Georgia, goes out for a run by herself in February of 2024, I believe, and this illegal Jose Ibarra ends up brutally murdering her. And it turns out that there were many instances where he should have been deported, had been caught doing some other stuff, and wasn't. And that's, we've been seeing that play out in states across the country. It is obviously a problem. So this is, I think, a big step in the right direction. So again, it's the Lake and Riley Act. And basically what it's doing is it would require these illegals to be held to be detained if they're charged, arrested, or convicted of a burglary, theft, or shoplifting offense. The other part of this, I think, that's really interesting is it also allows the state governments to sue the federal government if basically they're not enforcing the border laws and someone's hurt because of that.
Well, I mean, the headline here, I think, is that who are the 159 representatives, all of them Democrats, who voted against this bill? And why did it take a Republican majority in the House to get the bill introduced into the floor to begin with? This is an embarrassment. I mean, we're not talking about going door to door and arresting every illegal. I mean, I can see some Democrats having a challenge with that. There probably might be some Republicans that had a challenge with that. We're talking about known criminals that once you've got them in custody, you don't just slap them on the wrist and turn them back loose into society. You don't do that. It's just common sense. And 159, mm-hmm. and I loved how the Gateway Pundit put this, America-hating Democrats voted against it in favor of rapists and murderers.
Yeah,
I don't know how else you, I don't know a better way to describe it.
Only 48 of the Democrats moved and voted with the Republicans to pass this thing. They need six, it goes to the Senate. They're supposed to vote on it Friday, but they need 60 votes there in the Senate in order for this to pass. You're right. I think it's mind-blowing that somebody would be against this. Some of the debate was about, well, you're only arresting them. They haven't been convicted of the crime. In fact, I do have some sound I want to play from you, these lawmakers who were debating this in the House floor yesterday.
Today, the name on the bill is Laken Riley. Tomorrow, it will be another victim of these policies, another son or daughter of a loved one. Thank God the American people have done exactly that. They have given this Congress and this president the tools and the mandate to secure our borders and remove every person who has broken into our country by violating our laws.
This bill would upend 28 years of mandatory immigration detention policy by requiring that any undocumented immigrant arrested for theft, larceny, or shoplifting be detained even if they are never convicted or even charged with a crime.
Yeah, so that's what they're upset about is that, well, you're not convicting them of a crime and then holding them. You're just saying if they've been arrested. That's what they're upset about.
It's the same silliness that they passed in the state of Illinois with the bail, the putting a ban on cash bail or whatever it was because they thought that it discriminated against certain people. That's what the Democrats are arguing. What the common sense of the law says is that these aren't people they just were driving down the street, saw them walking down the street, decided to pick them up and put them in a jail cell and say, we're not letting you go. These are people who are accused of very serious crimes against United States citizens. The citizenry of this country, we don't have to put up with that.
Well,
and it's shocking to me that it took until now had Democrats, they were probably afraid to bring this to the floor because they knew that all the Republicans would vote for it and 40 or 50 of their own members would vote for it.
To your point, this is not suggesting that if an illegal is accused of shoplifting, that you're supposed to take him into custody, torture him, which includes waterboarding them and pulling off all their fingernails. That's not part of this, right? They're just saying, let's hold them, let's detain them while we investigate. Let's figure all of this out, because how many times, like I mentioned, have we seen scenarios play out where someone's murdered, you end up looking into the background of this person, and you find out that they had all these crimes they had been accused of committing, and for whatever reason, they let him go. And now they move on to more heinous crimes like murder, which is exactly what played out with Jose Ibarra and Laken Riley.
We need laws like this because in some places there are no adults in the room, Kim. That's the bottom line. You have idiots like George Soros spending hundreds of millions of dollars to elect Kim Gardner's and people like that who turn around and release criminals back into society. And that's the problem. And it's a shame that you have to have a law like this, but it's been proven again and again that they don't have the common sense to do it on their own. So somebody's going to have to force them to do it. And I think it's a great way to kick off Republican leadership in the House, don't you?
Oh, I agree. I think this is a big step in the right direction, and I'm hoping the Senate is going to come through. I think about what played out here in the local area, with I believe it was St. Charles County and St. Louis County, I think, were voting on something about illegals. Because what we hear talked about, and this is true in my opinion, is every state's a border state. People are coming all across. They're coming across the border, but then they're going everywhere. And even the city of St. Louis had been talking about wanting to bring some of the people who are currently, I think, in the Chicago area, I think, because they've been so overrun in the state of Illinois with these people. They're trying to figure out where can we send them. They've been sleeping in the airport. So the thought was, well, we have a declining population here in the city of St. Louis. Why not bring some of these people over? Now, do I know if they're illegal? No. But I'll bet you some of them are, and more will come. And remember that, Mark, in St. Charles County and I think St. Louis County, they were trying to pass something about illegals coming to this area. Do you recall that?
Well, they were trying. They passed resolutions in support of it, certainly, which is a shame. And you can never talk about that issue without remembering that what the Biden administration and Democrats did was try to change the definition of legal. So, in other words, claiming they were giving somebody temporary status while their case is working its way through court, which could take 4 or 5 years, they're trying to argue that they're somehow making these people illegal for them to be here, and therefore you can't call them illegal. And it's just garbage. And this is all stuff that Trump is going to reverse, maybe on day one. And here's what I realized the other day. Of course, we're planning to be there for the inauguration. And there's an antechamber to the Capitol building. So I just read about this the other day. When the president-elect gets sworn in, he then walks down the hall into this antechamber where there's a desk. And any bills that he's had executive orders already written up, ready to go. It's the same thing Joe Biden did when he took over. He didn't even have to go back to the White House. He's going to walk in there and he's going to sign a bunch of these executive orders within minutes of being sworn in as president of the United States. And I really hope that's one of the things that he's turning over, Kim. I don't know that for sure, but I would hope that's one of them.
I would think so, because don't you agree that the economy and the border were probably the two biggest things that drove voters to the polls?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think people are sick of seeing people who are not citizens getting more rights than taxpaying citizens and being protected more than taxpaying citizens like Lake and Riley and other people who've been victims of criminals who should have been in jail.
Yeah, I think that it is the tide's turning because here's why. So the House initially approved this legislation in March with 37 House Democrats joining Republicans. And this time around, it was 48. So it's still sad that not more Democrats voted with the Republicans to pass the Lake and Riley Act. But that does tell you that I think even some people who typically are, let's invite everybody and no border wall and all these things. I think even they're starting to see, OK, what we've been doing here, this whole kumbaya thing, let's just all hold hands and let everybody in, is clearly not working, and we have to do something about it.
Exactly. Well, that's a good thing. We're happy about that. We're also happy we could be in the Capitol today, down here in the rotunda, just outside of the Missouri Senate chambers, where they will gavel in the next session starting at around noon today. Thanks to our friends at Golden Oak Lending for signing on and sponsoring our trip down here. We appreciate that as well. And here's the thing. Don't forget, maybe 3 weeks ago, we had incoming Senator David Gregory on the show. And the big question, speaking of illegal aliens, is whether or not his bill will get assigned to a committee. That's the one that would basically create the certified bounty hunter program for Missouri illegal aliens. I'll talk about a few more details on that bill, because I've got a copy of it right here in front of me this morning. We'll talk about that and more when we come back from the Capitol in Jeff City. We'll be right back.
Mark Cox is live from Jefferson City, sponsored by Golden Oak Lending, where homeowners get cash in as little as 14 days.
Get more at 971talk.com.